Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hey everyone, welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about the Donner Party.
So grab your wagons.
And let's get civical. Everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I am Lizzie Stewart.
And I am Arden Walentowski.
And we are fulfilling a promise. A promise that was made not one, but 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, I started notes on something else. And
then remembered?
Well, no. I started notes on something else. Because I could not remember what I said we were going to do. And
I love that you didn't text
me. Way too embarrassed. Oh, no, because I felt way too embarrassed.
Oh, my God.
And also, I cut it way too close timing-wise to text you and be like, what did I say? What did we say we were going to do? And so then while I was doing the notes for the other, like, I started new notes, which will now be the next episode.
Totally. Love it. Planned.
Yes. Planned ahead of time. I started listening to the episode where we said we were going to do the things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's in there somewhere.
It is in there.
So I just listened to our own episode of the show. And I was like, oh, right. Yes, of course. Yes. How could I forget?
How could you? I mean, I totally understand. Life's busy. We're busy. We haven't chatted in like 2 weeks because we I've been away. This is a funny one for you to forget, considering
Yes.
Well, it is.
It is a very funny one.
Yeah. It's not like a random court case.
No. And I had a feeling about it. I was like, it was something interesting, like a disaster. You know, there was something exciting and thrilling about it. I just couldn't quite put my finger on it. And of course, it's cannibalism, which I should have known because I just rewatched the Jeffrey Dahmer
docuseries
the other day, you know, so it should have been fresh on my mind. But
yes, cannibalism. It's cannibalism. Oof. This is one of those stories. And I mean, I hate calling it a story because it really happened, but it feels like a campfire story.
Sure.
Because it's so like, oh no. But historically, it did happen.
It's quite infamous.
As we talked about in our last episode, we named a whole like pass through.
Yes.
Mountain, whatever you want to call that.
There's a whole section of the world named after
people. Which is also like so bizarre. I mean, I guess you want to honor them. I don't know. It's like.
Or warn people. We all know they ate each other because it was too hard to do. Don't follow in their footsteps. Don't go here.
Yeah. I mean, and this just goes to show. I want to say this up top. Going out in nature, obviously things are different now than it was then, but nowadays, if you're somebody who wants to take on a big nature hike, adventure, whatever, like you really must plan and train and prepare because horrific things can happen if you don't do those things. Like I cannot simply just go and like walk the Andes, you know, like it's too much. If you are an amateur, literally be an amateur and work your way up. You wouldn't ski the Black Diamond on the first go. That's what I'm saying.
No, I wouldn't even attempt.
So that's our caution. This is our cautionary tale. And we are talking today about the Donner Party. Not the Dahmer Party, which is what I thought it was called.
Yes.
The Donner.
Great name. Donner. Great name.
No, the Donner. Like
the reindeer.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Like the reindeer. Yeah. Oi.
I know. So sad.
Oi.
I know. What a namesake.
Whew.
Poor kid.
So before we jump into this horrific tale, do you want to tell us about the sources for it?
It's bad. Sure. Just two gentle heavy hitters, Britannica and History.com. I mean, I looked for some others, like the Library of Congress had a little bit of information and, you know, there were, but like for this kind of thing, I feel like you really just got to go.
Yeah. You got to go to the sources that are willing to like get into the nitty gritty because Library of Congress, I think would be like, give like a little like posh.
They're like,
here's a couple sentences.
It was a family. They traversed a snowy terrain. Many of them died.
Yeah.
Sad tale.
No, we need that. We need the details.
Yes.
We need the details.
We need the HBO Max.
Exactly.
Level details.
Correct. Surprising that there hasn't been like, I mean, I guess it's so horrific, but like some sort of fictionalization recreation of this.
Yes.
In like a movie or limited series. I guess it's just.
Sure.
Really bleak, but like so is, you know, Schindler's List. I don't know.
Right. Has not stopped Hollywood before.
That's true. But yeah, this is a crazy story. Maybe we'll write it. Let's see how we feel at the end of this
episode. We have a long list of movies to write, Lizzie.
I know. We really do. We'll get to it.
So many. Yep.
So let's start off first with talking about who were the Donners? Who was this family that tried to get across, tried to go west and got trapped and then all these horrible things happened? I'll tell you right now. The Donners were a group of American pioneers named for the expedition's captain, George Donner, who became stranded en route to California in late 1846. Terrible time to be alive. We've said it once. We've said it 1,000 times. You won't catch me in the mid to late 1800s.
No.
No, ma'am. The party was trapped by exceptionally heavy snow in the Sierra Nevada, and when food ran out, some members of the group reportedly resorted to cannibalism of those already dead.
Yes.
Oh! It was the worst disaster of the overland migration to California. Donner Lake and Donner Pass, which we talked about in our last episode, California, are named for the party. So they got a lake and a pass. Which, yeah. Like, again, it's like, I mean, you know, they didn't do anything. I guess it's hard to say if they did anything wrong. Like, this was a tragedy.
Yeah.
But still, to, like, remember it with the lake. I'm like, how do you say, you know, hey, kids, you want to go to Donner Lake this weekend?
Right,
totally.
Right.
You know?
Totally.
Why is it named That's like that? Cool. Oh, well, the year was 1846.
And they got, there's a family trapped in a snowbank.
There's a heavy snow and get... You can figure out what happened.
You can figure out how. Fast forward.
It
out yourself. So let's talk about their journey and why they even came to the lake in the past and how they got there. So the fertile farmlands of Central California drew a steady stream of settlers in the 1840s. And in the spring of 1846, several families from Springfield, Illinois, joined the westward migration, the Donners being one of them. The families of brothers George and Jacob Donner and local businessman James Reed left Springfield on April 14th, 1846. So, like, kind of around, like, right around now, they left.
Yeah.
They left Illinois and went west.
They're currently on the way right now.
On the way. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Turn back. Turn back.
Abort mission.
Please don't go.
You don't want to go. With the addition of roughly a dozen Teamsters and employees, this initial party numbered some 31 people. And within a month, the Donners and Reeds had reached Independence, Missouri. So, like, they got a good little crew going. They got helpers, people to carry their stuff. There, in Independence, Missouri, on May 12th, they became part of a main wagon train headed west. So they've got their little crew of 31 people. And then they're like, oh, my God, there's a big,
convoy.
A bigger crew of people. There's a convoy. Mm. We're joining the convoy. Let's all go west. And
Love
so
that.
They did.
There's strength that. In numbers.
Safety and strength in numbers. Yes. The party elected George Donner to serve as its leader. And at its peak, the Donner Party would number some 87 people.
Jeez.
That's a lot of people.
A lot of people.
29 men, 15 women, and 43 children.
Oh, there's so many babies.
So many children.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, they popped out a lot of babies in that time.
I mean, they didn't have anything to stop it from happening.
So. Yeah.
It's a lot of babies. So 29 men, 15 women, 43 children in a column of 23 ox-drawn wagons. So
it's a big convoy.
It's a big caravan.
Yeah.
It's a convoy. Yeah. The group made good progress all the way to Fort Laramie in what is now southeastern Wyoming, covering roughly 650 miles in 6 weeks. Then on July 20th, 1846, the company divided, with most of its wagon train then turning north toward Fort Hall, which is in modern southeastern Idaho, and using that section of people decided to use the well-known Oregon Trail to continue the westward journey.
You said Oregon.
I did say Oregon.
And we're keeping it in.
Oh,
we're
I
keeping
said
it in. We had Oregon strikes again.
I'm so out of practice.
Oh, man. So for those of you who don't know, that's Oregon.
Oregon.
But we're keeping it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Why do I say Oregon?
I couldn't tell you why you say it. I've never met anybody else who says Oregon. I mean, I'm sure other people do, but you are my touchstone to Oregon.
I really don't know. Is the game called Oregon Trail? No.
I think it's Oregon Trail.
And so I have no idea.
I wonder
what my mom says. The next time I ask her, next time I talk to her, I'm going to be like, Mom, what do you call this state?
Yeah. Read this aloud. What is this?
Below.
What is this?
Yeah. Yeah.
So all that to say, we had one big group and then they essentially split into two groups. One group decided to go to the historical famous Oregon Trail.
Yes. They follow the good route.
The good route.
The tried and tested route.
That has been done.
Yes.
Tried and true.
Tried and true. It's called Oregon Trail for a reason. There's a reason there's a game named after it.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it.
Even
we know it now.
I know.
It works. But the other group, we'll let you guess which group.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
follows the advice of a dishonest guidebook author.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. Named Lansford Hastings, who was promoting a straighter and supposedly quicker path that cut through the Wasatch Mountains across the Salt Lake Desert.
Imagine being Lansford and finding out, I assume, years later, because news travels slowly in 1846.
Sure, yeah.
That someone followed your guidance and this is what happened? Right. It's not, because it's not just that they died. Like, that is one thing. Then you have the added layer of the cannibalism and you're like, God.
Yeah.
Lansford. No. I love that they call him a dishonest guidebook.
A dishonest guidebook. I know. Like the original, you know, self-help Instagram, whatever, snake oil salesman. Jesus. Like just, my gosh. Bad.
Oh, no.
So there was just one problem. No one had ever traveled this Hastings cutoff with wagons. Not even Hastings himself. This sounds like a bad idea.
Perfect.
You've got 23 flipping. Well, I guess some of them went to the Oregon. Oh, my God. I did it again. Oregon Trail. Some of them went to the Oregon.
Oh, my God.
Just did it again.
This is right. It's okay.
Some of them went to the Oregon Trail.
Good.
So they don't have the 23 wagons. I'm sure there's some. Maybe they've split them in half. But still, you're going to be the first ones to try this?
Yeah, no, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
I say this all the time. I don't need to be the first to try anything. I don't need to be the first man on the moon.
No.
I don't need to be the first person to get a dose of some, like, breakthrough medicine. Like, I don't need to be the first one to go through Hastings Cutoff. Why? Because I like to play it safe.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy to be second or third or fourth or 50th.
I'm happy to be last.
Bye.
Bye.
You go right ahead.
Have fun breaking ground. No, thank you.
No, thank you. Yeah. So, never been tried with wagons before. Despite the obvious risks and against the warnings of James Clyman, who was an experienced mountain man, somebody we should have probably listened to.
Always listen to somebody who is
Mr. Donner.
Mountain man. Always.
Right. Always.
Because he's like, hey, I live in these mountains.
Not even related to mountains.
Don't go there.
Right. So they have 20 wagons. So they have most of the wagons.
So much wagons.
The people only took 3 wagons.
That's so many wagons.
Right. So many wagons. The 20 Donner Party wagons elected to break off from the usual route and gamble on Hastings' back road. So they have most of the wagons.
Yeah. I'm like,
the people
what are you in a rush
who took
for?
The regular route took 3 wagons, and the people who are like, we'll take a gamble.
Sure.
Let's be pioneers. Let's do something that's never been tried before and take 20 wagons across this treacherous path, also through the desert.
Yeah.
No. The decision proved disastrous.
Totally. Understatement.
Understatement. The emigrants were forced to blaze much of the trail themselves by cutting down trees, and they nearly died of thirst during a 5-day crossing of the Salt Desert.
Totally. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, bad.
You are going up against the land, the land will always win.
Because the land ain't going nowhere.
The land is not forgiving. The land does not let up. Land will kill you and be like, oh, good night. Like, they don't, land doesn't care.
No.
Oh.
Rather than saving time, Hastings, quote, shortcut, ended up adding nearly a month to the Donner Party's journey.
Mm-hmm.
While at Fort Laramie, Reed had been warned against attempting the route by an old friend from Illinois who had just completed the west-to-east journey through Hastings Cutoff.
So they've had so many people be like, don't do this.
Yeah, and their friend Reed, who's traveling with them, did it, but without wagons, but he was like, yo... No.
Yo.
That snake oil salesman, like...
No. You can't do this
wrong.
With wagons.
No.
There's no way.
No, don't do it.
So during their first week in the cutoff, the Donner Party made good progress. Hastings, who had promised to leave migrants along the trail, left Fort Bridger with a different company of wagons, and it fell to Reed to act as the company's guide. So this dude that basically told them, hey, you should totally do this, is not even the person leading them through this journey. It's going to Reed, who has no idea what he's doing because he's never done it before.
Exactly.
I can't.
And he's like, God damn it. I should have listened to that guy who told me not to do this.
Don't do this. Literally, everybody was like, oh my God, what are you, insane?
Sane?
Don't do this. There's the Oregon Trail. Like, right. Don't try to reinvent the wheel.
No.
As they broke a new trail through the nearly impassable terrain of the Wasatch Mountains, they lost about 2 weeks' time. On August 30th, after gathering as much water and grass as they could carry, they entered the Great Salt Lake Desert, as we said. A note left by Hastings had assured the party that they would be able to cross the desert in just 2 days, but the journey took 5. Hastings can eat shit.
Yeah, he's a dickwad.
The party lost dozens of cattle in the desert, and several wagons had to be abandoned. Yeah.
I mean, because they couldn't do it.
You can't, you need so much water if you're going to deal with a desert. So much water.
It's a salt desert. It's not just a regular desert. It's a salt desert.
Good point. Whew. The pioneers lost valuable days conducting a fruitless search for the missing oxen before beginning a circuitous navigation of the Ruby Mountains in modern northeastern Nevada. By the time the Donner Party reached the Humboldt River, where Hastings cut off rejoined the main California Trail, it was late September. All the other migrants of 1846 had completed their journey to California, and the Donner Party was racing the weather to clear the passes in the Sierra Nevada. So everybody else who they split up with has already made it. And by September, has made it to California. Has made it, did the Oregon Trail, was like, good, great, fine.
Yeah.
The Donner Party, who's gone across the desert, then up and around, then like this, and now is like chasing their cows, trying to find water, chasing their cows. And it's finally like, uh-oh, it's late September. Things are about to start getting brisk, especially in the mountains, where it gets colder, quicker, faster, stronger. Yes. We are a race against Mother Nature, which, as we've said, will always win against you. Mother Nature always wins.
Will always win.
Don't even try. Tensions were running high among the exhausted pioneers, and on October 5th, an altercation between Reed and a teamster employed by another family ended with Reed fatally stabbing the man. Some members of the party suggested that Reed be hanged, but he was instead banished from the company. Reed would continue west on horseback while the rest of his family remained with the Donner Party. Oh, I feel a tragedy coming.
It's coming.
I feel a tragedy coming.
Yes. You're not good.
Oh. Also, it's just like, to add the, like, everything is already going so poorly. And now we're going to add a murder.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Right.
Like, get it together. This is, honestly, not to make this a gender thing, but this is men.
Oh, this is men.
This is men. Being like, I know a better route. I know better. I know best. I'm going to be quicker, faster, stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just like going the logical route.
Mm-hmm.
The road most traveled.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, like, I got big, strong, masculine energy. I'm going to kill you.
Exactly.
You're really annoying me at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The pioneers began the ascent of the Sierra foothills, low on food. And, Paiute warriors killed several of the remaining oxen. By this point, members of the company had buried virtually all of their personal possessions, except for food, clothing, and the barest essentials needed for survival, in an effort to minimize the load on their exhausted animals. Yeah, we're having to like drop your treasures, drop your trinkets, drop your whatevers. We gotta get through this. On October 31st, the weary pioneers approached what is now the Donner Pass across the Sierra Nevada and found their progress blocked by deepening snow. So they did not beat Mother Nature's clock. Too much snow to continue forward.
So let's talk about the Donner Pass and the Donner Lake.
Because
it gets snowy.
It gets snowy.
And they get trapped. And that's when they start with the cannibalism. Nom, nom, nom.
Nom, nom, nom.
Nom, nom, nom. So most of the party thereupon built crude cabins near what is now known as Donner Lake. The Donners, whose progress was delayed by a wagon accident, made a similar camp a few miles further east on the trail near Alder Creek. 8 days of almost continuous snow followed, during which time many of the oxen, the chief reserve of food, wandered off and were lost.
They can't keep these oxen.
These oxen are like, bye. Bye. You can't keep us. I'm just going to wander away because I'm huge and I can.
Because animals know that you can't go up against Mother Nature and win.
They're like, oh, no, ma'am.
We'll be going back east. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you. Bye. On November 20th, Patrick Breen, whose family had joined the party in Independence, Missouri, began a diary, which he continued until March 1st.
Ooh.
Breen's account of the winter of 1846 to 47 would provide the only contemporary written record of the Donner Party's ordeal. So this is also where we get a lot of the, like, details of all the badness.
Hi.
So on December 15th, Bayless Williams, an employee of the Reed family, died of malnutrition at the lake camp. His was the first death recorded at the camps, although many others would soon follow.
Mm.
On December 16th, a party of 10 men and 5 women set out across the mountains on improvised snowshoes. During a month's harrowing, often overwhelming hardships from cold, storms, deep snow, and inadequate food, they struggled on. So this party is like, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to go on and get people to come help us because we are in so much trouble.
I guess. Yeah.
We're going to die.
Yeah.
8 of the men died, and the bodies of some of these men were eaten by the others.
Mm-hmm.
Thus it begins.
Mm-hmm.
2 men and all of the women got through to the Sacramento Valley.
Just want
to
shout out the women for getting through to the Sacramento Valley. That's not surprising.
You. Not surprising.
I mean, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. I also think it means that the 2 women or the 2 men that survived and the women that survived ate the men.
Yes. They must right? have.
They must have.
They must have. Because by the they time you're have. Eating the people, there's no food left.
Right.
And, like, to be fair, I guess you have to imagine that before the food ran out, the men were probably giving more to the women because women are meek and feeble, which is why sure. I love being a woman in these situations. Sure. Hello, women and children only. But, yeah, by the time it's like, okay, well, it's either we die or we eat this dude. There's right. no, it's not like we also have a sandwich option.
Right.
You know?
There's no turkey on rye around.
Yeah, it's not like you could do the special turkey on rye, right. or we're doing a chef's cannibalism human flesh
right.
entree.
We could have Bob.
Kebab.
Sizzled.
Which would you prefer? No, it's right. like there's nothing. So either die or eat this person.
Right. The settlers of California organized a relief party. So to back up. So the team who went out from the Donner Pass and Donner Lake reached Sacramento Valley and found help. They were like, dear Lord, please God, come help us. There's women please. And children and some men trapped.
Yeah.
Back here. We did something very stupid and listened to a snake oil salesman. Please come help save us. So the settlers of California organized a relief party, which left Fort Sutter, now Sacramento, on January 31st, 1847. Heroically struggling through the deep snow, 7 men reached the lake camp on February 18th.
I feel like we're going to need more than 7 men.
I know.
It's not nothing.
It's not nothing, but I'm also like, how are you going to get all the, that's a lot of people. It's a lot of supplies.
Yeah.
Feels rough.
So those 7 men then took 23 of the starving pioneers, including 17 children, back to the settlements. Several deaths obviously happened along the way. Because, like, this mm-hmm. thing that they're going back and forth is, like, the treacherous stuff. Yeah. Like, people are obviously just dying left and right at this point.
Yeah.
Other relief parties followed, but because of illness and injuries, it was impossible to remove everyone. After dogs and cow hides had been devoured, many deaths occurred, and the survivors were forced to resort to cannibalism of the dead bodies. I didn't know you could eat cowhide.
I didn't know that either. I kind of took that to mean like they ate the cows that were around.
Sure.
But maybe they ate the cowhide. I mean
maybe they just truly like ate every single part of an animal, which like,
Sure. Yeah.
Get what's there. Pick it dry.
Mm-hmm.
The last survivor, Louis Kessberg, who had supported himself during the last weeks by cannibalism, did not leave the camp until April 21st. God, he must have eaten so many people.
Could you imagine? Like, that man must have, if he was not insane before,
he
had to have been insane by the time he
left. My God. The mental toll. Wow. Like, you don't recover from that.
No.
And like everybody kind of, like, you also can't keep it a secret. Like, everybody knows.
Right.
Yes, of course, it's like you do what you got to do. But also, like, that's, you know, that's Lewis who ate like six people.
Ooh. Right. Like, don't go knock on his door for Halloween because he ate six people. So,
oof.
Like, you know, you don't really know.
You don't really know. Ooh.
What he might do.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah.
Five of the pioneers died before reaching the mountain camps, 34 at the camps or the mountains while attempting to cross, and just one after reaching the settlement. So all in all, that's 40 people died.
Mm-hmm.
Two men who had joined the party at the lake also died. Thus, the total deaths was 42 with 47 survivors. So like 50%.
Yeah. Your odds were not good of surviving the Donner Party.
No. No,
it was not good. But I figured we should maybe talk about a hero because this is a very depressing story. And yeah, we need a little bit of a palate cleanser. So let's talk about a hero. So perhaps the most famous of the Donner Party's saviors was a guy named John Stark. He was a burly California settler.
Sounds hot.
Who took part in the Third Relief Party. In early March 1847, he and two other rescuers stumbled upon 11 immigrants, mostly kids, who had been left in the mountains by an earlier relief group.
Like,
this other group was like, bye.
We're slowing us down.
And exactly. They just left the children.
I feel like this is the whole point of the relief.
Yes.
Is to save the kids.
To save the kids. Like, who are you saving if not the children? So two other rescuers each grabbed a single child and started hoofing it back down the slope. So this guy, John Stark, goes up there with two other dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 11 children.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't obviously carry them all.
Mm-hmm.
These two other dudes are each like, this is my favorite kid, and took that one and went down the hill. John Stark was unwilling to leave anyone behind, and instead, he rallied the weary adults, gathered the rest of the children, and began guiding the group single-handedly. So he's, like, saving the rest of the entire encampment.
Yeah.
Most of the kids were too weak to walk, so Stark took to carrying two of them at a time for a few yards, then setting them down in the snow and going back for others. He continued the grueling process all the way down the mountain, and eventually led all nine of his charges to safety.
Wow.
Yeah.
There is some good in this world, Mr. Frodo.
There is some good in this world.
And it's worth fighting for. Mm-hmm. And sweet John Stark. Like, but why isn't it called Stark Lake? Like, not again, no shame against the Donner Party, but like, call it Stark Pass.
Stark Pass. Something like that. Right? Anything. Like, name it after the guy who, like, single-handedly, like, walked children.
Yeah.
Down.
Heroic.
Yes. Speaking of the incident years later, one of the survivors credited her rescue to, quote, nobody but God and Stark and the Virgin Mary.
I'm going to say it was just Stark on that one.
I'm just going to say it was Stark on that one because the Virgin Mary and God.
By the time you're eating people, God's not with you.
Clearly just probably would have left you up there to die.
Yeah. by that point, it's like you only have your wits about you if you think divine intervention is going to happen. I'm begging of you to, like, use your brain.
Yeah.
You know? Like, let's stay focused and stay on land here, people.
Yeah.
If you're eating people, things are really bad. So this is all Stark for me.
Yes, totally all Stark.
Well, that would be the end of our notes on the Donner Party. I think I am just as unsettled at the beginning, at the end, as I was in the beginning. I think, sure. Like most of our sort of disaster episodes, we can say this all could have been avoided. And that's, I think, that's the tragedy. Like, if there would have been some sort of freak accident on the Oregon Trail and then this happened, it would be different. But this is men thinking that they know best, thinking that they can defeat Mother Nature, and once again, you can't. And the result is you eat your brother.
That's right. The result is you eat your brother.
Result is you eat your brother. And now who looks foolish? So all that to say, if you're going on a big hike, a big caravan, a big journey through Mother Nature, simply prepare, bring all of your skills, do prep drills, mm-hmm. lots of food, lots of water, have a way to contact emergency personnel at all times. There's yes. nothing cute about going off the grid entirely. Because if you do, you might just have to eat someone, and that's not cute. That's not good. Something you're going to get over. No. You don't want to be known as the guy who ate the other guy, you know?
Yeah.
So with that said, that is our episode on the Donner Party. And as always, if you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to us. We love you so, so much, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.